The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
You're very welcome back. Anna Daly in for Anton Savage this morning. Now, kids are spending hours glued to their phones, but new research suggests it's not just because they're addicted to screens. In fact, it's because real-world freedom has disappeared, apparently. A new survey of 8 to 12-year-olds reveals they're craving something much more simple: time to play with friends and without constant adult supervision. Psychotherapist and author Stella O'Malley and freelance journalist, easy for me to say, Niamh O'Reilly joins me now. I need a coffee urgently. Good morning to you both.
How are you?
Thank you for joining us. I'm reading this as the mother of three children, almost all of them in that category. And there's nothing quite like seeing them create their own fun and the happiness they get out of that away from screens, Stella, is there?
No, actually, it gives us a sense of satisfaction that can't really be matched. But they're getting it less and less.
Which because, is a worry.
Yeah, as they say, you know, every time you put down your phone, there's a multi-billion dollar industry helping you to pick it back up. Yeah. And they've got the kids in on it. And, they, you know, this is for the first time ever that we've moved from play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood. And that phone-based childhood, it's kind of satisfying in the moment, so you don't want to rip your phone off your hands. Mm. But actually, you won't remember long, joyful days playing on your phone. And those kids aren't actually going to have those memories of long, joyful. The freedom, it's very hard to describe it, but most of us will remember it. That freedom of just hanging around with your mates. There wasn't an adult. The big key point here is, without being supervised by an adult. Because when an adult is there, the entire vibe changes.
Yes.
And we presume that once there's adult supervision, it's good. And we are wrong. Because all the research is showing that, like, between, let's say, 8 and 12, the child is moving from a young child to being an adolescent. And they need some time just with their mates. And it's like we have, because of maybe 24-hour news cycle, maybe social media constantly pumping out an awful lot of danger news, we believe the world is more dangerous than it ever was before, but it isn't actually. Mm-hmm. If you look at all the stats, child mortality, sickness, health, even road accidents, they're consistently going down. I remember when I wrote my book, Cotton Wool Kids, in 2015, actually, was my first book. I was astonished to realise that road deaths on the road in Ireland went down from, in the 1970s, late 70s, was at a height from about 650 deaths per year. And now it's way down, like 150, less than 150.
Yeah.
So it's consistently gone down. But you would swear, because I was alive, I was a kid in the 80s, you would swear that it was much more dangerous now. It's not. It's just that we're much more safety conscious. But the cost of that safety consciousness has come with mental health problems, which is anxiety, worry, a safetyism, a lack of going outside, a lack of freedom. And with the freedom, I know it's going to sound over the top, but comes a kind of depression, a kind of lack of purpose, a lack of freedom, a lack of fun. And it gets in on the kids by the time they're adolescents, and we're seeing the impact.
And you know what? We would have grown up, Niamh, in a very organic way, as in you created your own fun, you legged it out of the house, you know, you created your own games,
yeah.
You know. There was definitely no screens.
Yeah.
You made your own friendships. There was no play dates. Everything is so, yes. And I'm so guilty of it as a mother now. Everything is so orchestrated and produced. And, you know, it's almost like you're trying to produce the play date to make sure everybody has a great time.
That's like, it. You are. It's like,
my mother did not overthink anything like that.
I know. And I like it. It is fascinating. Like when I hear Stella talking about all of that, because I see myself in all of this. Like I am like trying to organize play dates and, you know, children are so structured today and they're so organized and they're so scheduled, like especially during term time, for example, kids are scheduled to the hilt. They have like a full day of school and then they definitely have probably at least one after school activity during the week, if not multiple, and you're ferrying them here and there and they don't really get a chance to decompress and just chill out with their pals, because when they're at the after school activity, they're in there doing whatever it is. There might be a little bit of time when you're picking them up for them to mill around and run around, but there is adult there. And I, you know, I'm thinking about my own kids in this now. Mine are 5 and 8, so my youngest is probably still a little bit young for this particular cohort. But my 8-year-old, I see it. He loves a little bit of freedom. Like, I have to say, he doesn't get much freedom. And when I read this survey, it kind of made my heart really sad, because I felt like I could see he wants this freedom. Like when we go away, for example, say to a hotel or on holidays or whatever, strangely enough, I give them more freedom when we're away. And I don't know why that is.
So you're in holiday mode.
I mean, maybe that's it. I've taken off my stressful mum hat and I'm like, chill out, guys, everything's fine. But like, say we're down at the restaurant having dinner and it's time to go back up to the room, we will always give them the key and say, off you go, lads, up, we'll see you up at the room. Now, it's only maybe a couple of floors up in the elevator or whatever, but they love
the freedom.
The eyes light up like nothing I've ever seen. And they're like, yeah, and they run off. And the sense of them doing something for themselves and going off and being independent, you know, at 5 and 8, they love it. Now, my heart is in my mouth slightly, because I'm like, I know nothing's going to happen to
them,
but
in
the back of your head.
Walk up those two flights of stairs and not run down the wrong corridor.
Exactly, or do something else. And everything's always been fine. And we knock on the door and they're like, you know, they don't open it fully. It's hilarious. We have a secret knock and stuff. But they love that. So like, I am trying as a parent now that they're getting slightly older to give them a little bit more freedom. And I think a lot of parents will probably understand where I'm coming from and have that anxiety. Like, you just want to keep them safe. But I think we're suffocating them sometimes. So I think if, like me, you find it difficult, I would say start small. Little things like that when you're away, give them a small bit of freedom. The other thing we do is when we bring the dog for a walk, I let the two of them take the dog and I'll sort of follow at a distance, you know, a good bit behind. So like, if something happens, I can see them. But like, they feel like they're off on their own and stuff like that. So little things.
A little bit of independence.
A little bit. And
so good for their confidence, isn't it?
They love it, yeah.
One of the things, Stella, that's come out of the survey is many kids aren't allowed to go outside alone. So even in their own garden, you know, they're not necessarily safe unless they're supervised. But a screen or a phone or a cartoon on the telly is easier. Because, and so many working mothers and fathers as well, you know, you're trying to juggle five things at once. Does that sound familiar?
It's incredibly familiar. The thing is, it's false. You know what I mean? We think our kids are safer by being in the sitting room or in their bedroom online. And they're not. Again and again, all the research has shown that actually they're much more likely to be predated upon, for example, by a predator online these days than in real life.
In their own front garden.
It's not true that just because they're inside that they're safer. It's not true. And more importantly, mentally, health-wise, it's not true. But you know, when Neve was speaking there about her kid and talking about that sense of freedom, it's unmistakable. And you know, her eyes lit up. And we all knew it. We were all there. That sense of freedom and vitality, we dismiss that at our peril. That is what gives kids the kind of resilience and joy for life that staves off depression and purposelessness. And that, you know, that depressed teenager who has no purpose, no meaning, just loses all vitality. That's depression, when you lose vitality. And if we keep on smothering children all the time so that they, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, I'm hovering over you. No. Of course they end up in their phone where they get the only bit of fun that they can get. It's passing. It's superficial. It's weak. But it kills time. And of course you can see why. And they have shown it. I really want to say this. They've shown this, that the mental health of adolescents fell off a cliff once they got access to high-speed Wi-Fi on their phones, smartphones.
Yeah.
And they have shown from the stats again and again and again, from about 2015 onwards, the teenagers, their mental health, anxiety, self-harm, panic, depression, all of those rates went very high. And they are very definitely blaming the smartphone on this.
Do you know, you brought me back, and it's such a good point that you make, Neve, your kids running through the hotel or whatever. You know, when I think about family holidays and the innocence of them, you know, myself and my brother would be there 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But there was obviously no screens, and your parents, you know, went to the bar or went to sort their stuff out in the room or whatever. But you make friends within half an hour. You have a new best friend, you know, you're hanging out on the staircase, you're having the chats, you're playing in the garden, your hands in muck, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, your communication skills are developing as a result of that.
Absolutely.
But when you see families now, and I'm sure I've been guilty of this as well with my own kids, with the heads on the screens in iPads or, you know, they're not actually even trying to make friends.
I know.
Because the phone is more exciting.
Mm-hmm. I know. And the thing is, like, and I've been this soldier, I'm not trying to do down parents here, but sometimes it's easier to say, here, go on your phone.
And we've all done it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a case of like during the summer, I'm doing the juggle and sometimes my kids aren't in camp and I have to open my laptop and do a bit of work and maybe they play outside for a bit. And then they come in and they say, I'm bored. And I'm saying to myself, I still have work to do. And I say, do you want to turn on the telly or do you want to go on your Nintendo or whatever? And it's the easy option for me. And I know I shouldn't do it. It's harder, I think, to engage with your kids than it is to say, here, you know, have a look at this phone or whatever. And we've all done it. And especially you see, you know, toddlers in prams looking at phones and tablets and stuff. And we've all done it because you need a little bit of peace.
And I think there's nothing like work pressure. To make you break all the rules and just to get something done.
Yeah, but can I just say that this feeling that like we feel like we've got this kind of weight on the top of our head that we have to engage with our kids. We don't. We could just let them be. Let them be free. Let them be free. Let them go outside and play without supervision.
Yeah.
But there's a kind of a culture of you should be parenting. And that's why in holidays you're like, you can take the pressure off. Actually, it's bad for kids to be parented constantly.
Do you know what? There's probably one lesson out of this conversation, and that's do a bit more of the holiday vibe in the normal world.
Yeah.
Just a quick text. There's lots of texts coming in. Who's organising and scheduling all these play dates? Hardly the kids. The pressure comes from the parents. Parents need to get a life themselves. It's probably a good point.
It's easier said than done.
I feel like she's scolding me, but it's a very good point. We're out of time. Thank you, psychotherapist and author Stella O'Malley and freelance journalist Niamh O'Reilly. Thank you very much for joining us. We're back after this quick break.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.